Dear Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of people to come here and assemble themselves in your house and to hear your word. I trust, dear God, that you'd use your word tonight. I know your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And Lord, I trust that you'll help us to look into your word and to glean what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, by way of introduction, I want to start by just reading some verses out of Isaiah. This is not part of the message. This is somebody's one of my introductions. So you listen as I read, okay? Ho, everyone, this is Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Therefore do you spend money? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And ye labor for that which not satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If you want to give a title to the message tonight, one I've selected is Two Famines and Food for Thought. Two Famines and Food for Thought. I'd like to start by, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. I want to make a reference here. In Matthew chapter 4, what we have, you're familiar with these verses, everybody who's read their Bible knows these things, that Jesus went up to be tempted of the devil. And there's a response here that I want us to focus on, what the Lord responded after the Lord had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. This was right after the time when he had was baptized by John the Baptist, and he went up to be tempted. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil certainly would have thought, well, the Lord is weakened at this time. 40 days and 40 nights fasting. Certainly he's weakened. This is a great time to attack the Lord. But the Lord is not like other men. He's the Lord. He's God. And, he was hungry. The Bible tells us that he was hungry. But I want you to notice the response after the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread in Matthew 4:4. I want you to listen. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That shall not it's an imperative obligation. Man needs God's word. Man needs food, certainly. We need soup. We need to eat. If we're going to live, we need to eat. But we also need God's word. We shall not, that's an imperative. We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Okay? So Jesus was under attack here by the devil, but he's no match for Christ. And God was not weakened by this 40 days fasting. Now, Kim and I, we've been trying something we haven't done, I don't think, ever. We've been trying to eat better. You know, nothing wrong with trying to eat better, right? We're trying to eat better, trying to follow a simple diet, eat better foods, maybe smaller portions, trying to lose a little weight, get a little more healthy. And I've been enjoying it. I haven't been starving. Kim's been feeding me real good. In fact, I like getting this 3 meals a day. And she gets up and makes me breakfast, and I like that. So I have nothing to complain about this diet plan that I'm on. But when I look at hunger, I know that unsatisfied hunger, if it goes on long enough, starvation and death will occur. And the body will begin to consume itself. If you go too long without food, the body will begin to consume itself. I have a book here written by a man named J.D. Lankford. J.D. Lankford was an old soldier. He's since gone to be with the Lord. Pastor and I met this man up at the base, at Robins Air Base, back in March of 2012. He was out there dressed in his uniform. He was selling this book. The title of the book is called Walk With Me, One Soldier's Story. In this book, he talks about his time in World War II as a soldier, the battles that he went through, the hardships that he faced, the wounds and the suffering that he and others, many others, endured during World War II. At one point, while he was fighting in Germany, he was captured by the Germans, by the German army. And the treatment that he received by their hand was very, very rough. Very rough. He was put into a prison camp, in a prisoner of war camp. This prisoner of war camp, if my memory serves me, is the same prisoner of war camp that our pastor's father was in World War II. And he expresses in this book the starvation. When he was captured, he weighed 188 pounds. And 6 months later, or thereabouts, when he was liberated from that camp, he weighed only 93 pounds. That's an extreme weight loss to from a man who had such vigor and strength and health at 188 pounds to go down to 93. And he expresses in this book the starvation, the meager diet that he would have. Sometimes it would be a couple of potatoes that would be an inch and a half in diameter. And that 12 men had to share a small loaf of bread. And that would be a daily ration. Can you imagine going that long, that much without food? Certainly you're going to lose weight. And he suffered these things, and he lived through World War II, and wrote this book. He was a resident here in Georgia. Sadly, he has passed away, I think, the year after Pastor and I met him. But there have been great famines all across our world, in many lands, all through our history. Millions of people have died from starvation. Most of us probably have never experienced a famine, never been around one or associated in a country that has one. You know, we think here in America that we're prosperous, we're a land of plenty. But does that mean that in America we cannot be brought down by famine? No, not at all. The nation of Israel, God's people, they went through famines. And God can certainly bring a famine to this nation if He chooses to do so. Famines can still come in our lifetime, so don't think because where we live, we will never see a famine. That's not the case. So I thought, what are some of the leading causes of famine? What causes famine? Just speaking from a man's point of view, you know, disasters, crop and businesses destroyed, extreme poverty. I want you to remember that the prodigal son in Luke 15, he went through a famine, but it was after he had wasted his substance with riotous living. He was in a famine. He would have ate the husk that the swine did eat. You know, but he knew his father's house, they had plenty of food and food to spare. But there are famines. It can affect people and nations. Bad governments can cause famine to their people, to their lands. Bad leaders. Wastefulness. An unproductive society. Widespread unemployment. Inflation. The rising cost of goods, putting quality food out of reach of people. Lack of productivity amongst the people, the workers in the nation. People who don't want to work. Crops that aren't being grown in sufficient quantities to feed your population. Manufactured goods like baby food not being produced. And then supply chain. Infrastructure of distributed foods can fail and affect populations of cities, populations of sections of country. And these are severe things that could lead to a famine. And before that really comes, when it gets very severe, you know, you see hoarding, and you'll see desperation amongst people, and theft. Have we not seen that in the last few days? People stealing in grocery stores. One of the men mentioned last Monday on men's prayer meeting that, you know, about farmers. It may be a come a time where the farmers have to protect their crops because people go out there and steal from them. But theft and murders and really a degenerate society where there are no morals and no civility. Those things happen. When judicial systems in our nation fail, it could lead to these type of things or famine. But the first point I want to make in this three-point outline is physical famine. I want to talk about physical famines. Famine is described in the Bible as very grievous, very sore, devouring the land, mighty famines. Now, we can witness in our day now war going on in Ukraine. We read about it. The wars have occurred throughout the Bible times. Sieges of cities by armies whose attempt is to shut the city off from every source of support and welfare, that the people inside could starve, and that makes them easier to conquer. And so these judgments, also by judgments and punishments of God, a nation can be brought low. God can use the sword, that's war. He can use pestilence, that's disease, illness to both men and animals. And he can use famine. And often when you read your Bible and you're looking for these words, sword, pestilence, and famine, you'll see that these perils often go together. You see them matched together in the same verses. And I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Two of these things are in that verse, famine and sword. But you remember Romans 8, 35. It's the verse that says nothing can separate us from the love of God. And famine and the sword cannot separate us from the love of God. I want you to turn now to 2 Kings chapter 6. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, what we're going to do is just start by looking at some of the uses of famine in the Bible. Let me get there myself. 2 Kings chapter 6. In this, we're going to see that there was a famine in Samaria. And the city was under siege. You know, people were under siege by a foreign army, the Syrians. And looking at verse 6:25, there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf, that's a unit of measure, of dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. What you see there is people charging. Normally, I don't think people would eat those things, but in a famine, you're going to eat whatever can feed your belly. You'll see later on verse 29, 6:29, that women were even going to eat eat children. One of the women had killed her son and boiled him so they could eat him. How wicked and depraved can people get when they're starving? People will do those things. What I get from this when it talks about the pieces of silver for these things that people ate is that, you know, people price hike, things go up and up and up. So if you have the resources, you could still get stuff, but you got to pay a premium price for it. You know, those things we can witness somewhat in our own nation. You know, I'm not predicting there's going to be a famine in America. I'm not. I don't know. God hasn't told me that. And I don't see it in His Word, and I haven't heard it in a dream. So I'm just saying, these are some of the things that happens to nations, especially those who are going through these events like warfare. But there was a great famine. And I want you to remember the rest of that story. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to remember the rest of the story. God had delivered them from that famine, and He used some very unusual ways of doing it. The 4 lepers went into the Syrian camp. God had already chased these people out at the twilight. You know, they're there. They're well provisioned in their camp. They've got lots of resources because, after all, an army travels on its stomach. You know, and so they're well resourced for the siege that they're giving to the northern kingdom. And those lepers go into that camp and they find the camp empty. You know the story. And then they take those resources and they let the people know in the cities that are under siege and starving. And they go out and they get what the Assyrians left. And they had left in such a hurry that they strewed things on the ground and left all their food and things at the camps. And it provided. That's how God delivered that city from that famine, by doing that. That's a great delivery from God. And when I see this, I kind of think, you've heard in modern times we call armies use the phrase shock and awe. Have you heard that? Shock and awe. Well, God put some shock and awe on that Syrian army. He didn't have to fire a shot. He just scared them off. So God has ways of laying men low. And so famine, in another verse, in another part of the scripture, I see that famine was one of the three choices that God had told the prophet Gad to go to David. Remember, David had sinned by numbering the people. This is in 2 Samuel 4. If you want to turn there, that's fine. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel 24. In 2 Samuel 24, God had given the prophet Gad a message to take to David. And he gave David three choices. He gave, choose one of these three things because of his sin and numbering the people. So in verse 24:13, it says, so Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee into thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies? That sounds like war. While they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days of pestilence in their land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So David had to make a choice. His sin, remember I said earlier, the leaders in the land can cause famine. Well, David didn't choose famine. In this case, it was pestilence. And if I recall right, 70,000 men died because of that choice, because of that. David didn't want to fall into the hands of man. Better to fall in the hands of God, and God can use mercy. And he did. And they stayed it. It would have been on for the 3 days. But that's one of the things I read. And another thing, another use of famine in the Bible is a story that we're all very familiar with. It's the story of the Bible where Joseph and the famine in Egypt. You remember how Joseph, let's look at Genesis chapter 41. You might as well turn there. There might be better to do that. Genesis chapter 41. And first I want you to notice that It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So the 2 full years, Joseph had already been in Egypt for a while, and he'd been in prison, and, you know, and the chief butler had been released. It's been 2 full years since the chief butler has been released, and Joseph's still sitting there in the prison. So God gives Pharaoh these two dreams, and he needs someone to interpret them for him. And then the chief butler remembers. He remembers Joseph. And they call for Joseph to come out of the prison. Joseph comes out of the prison. He gets to clean himself up, change his raiment, maybe, you know, shave and that kind of thing, and prepare himself to go before Pharaoh. And he did. And so in this story, what we've got is the reason. I want you to see the reason of who causes famine. And I want you to look at verse 28. After the Pharaoh had told what the dream was, this is what Joseph had told him. Verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, He showeth unto Pharaoh. I want you to take notice of that. What God is about to do. Not the other causes that I mentioned about disaster or other things in the land that cause famines. God was about to do this. What God is about to do, He showed to Pharaoh. And then He goes on to tell him the seven years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. But then I want you to notice down in verse 32 of 41, Genesis 41, 32. And it says, "And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." So it was established by God. It was going to happen. There was no way to avoid it. It was established by God. And I read in verse 56, it says, "And the famine was over all the face of the earth." That sounds pretty severe. That sounds like a pretty big famine to me. But I want you to take some heart here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" So we don't have to fret. When things get bad, you're a believer, you trust the Lord. You're much more valuable to the Heavenly Father than he doesn't fail to feed those fowls of the air. So He won't fail to feed us too. The next point I want to make is spiritual famines. Spiritual famines. You know, the Bible is spiritual food. Would you agree to that? The Bible is spiritual food. It's like, picture with me a well-stocked pantry. A refrigerator so full of fresh foods, every time you open it, you just want to dive into it. You know, it's much better than a root cellar, and it's much better than the smokehouse where meats are preserved. The Word of God contains all this. In fact, the Word of God has been preserved for us. You know the verses. We're not going to look there, but I'll give them to you for reference. Isaiah 40, verse 8. 1 Peter 1, 25. Matthew 24, 35. God preserved His Word for us. And inside His Word, it's well-stocked. Well-stocked to get us through all the winters, all the bad times, all the things that could come into our life. God has got it all stored right here in His Word for us. It has a great variety of nourishment. It has milk and it has meat. You don't have to worry about baby food in here. It's here, right here. It never sours. It never spoils or rots. There'll never be a recall on God's Word like there are on food products. Never be a recall. And there's no contamination. It never goes bad. It's something in here for everybody. It's full of baby food and strong meat. And it's full of protein and it tastes good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's all in here. I read a quote, and I don't know who said it, but a well-read Bible is a well-fed soul. And I think there's truth in that. A well-read Bible is a well-fed soul. But now, I know that there are people out there who self-impose a famine on themselves. Have you heard of people who go on hunger strikes? You know, they're going to go without eating because they're striking for something. There are people who self-impose famines or self-impose starvation on themselves. I don't think I would want to starve to death. I don't think I have to worry about that. But we are... You know, people can suffer these things because of the choices they make. in their life. It's that they choose. Some people choose that. You know, I'm talking about spiritual famines now. And I want to look at, we're not going to turn there, but I want you to look at, I want you to think with me on this verse. We've heard it many times. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears, let him hear. He that hath ears, let him hear. Listen up. Take notice of what I'm about to say. May I have your attention, please? It's that he that has ears, let him hear, is a call for us to listen. You know, it's like God says, hey, are you listening? Do I have your attention? Are your ears working? You got your ears on? Like we used to tell children, you got your ears on? I think my wife has to tell me that sometimes too. Are you listening to me? You know, and then she has to get me an eyes where I could, so she could see me, you know. Because sometimes we don't listen. We need our attention. So God has to get our attention too. And let's look at Zechariah. Find Zechariah. Let's see. Back at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Chapter 7. Let's start at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the evil, or nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and they pulled away their shoulder, and they stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent them in his spirit by the former prophets. Stop there. You know, these people, and it's a reminder that that's how the nation of Israel has been many times. They turned away their ear from God. And it makes me think of our own nation here in America. How people have turned their ear away from God. You know, there's too many people in our society, in our population, that want to shut God out. Don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what God has to say. In a sense, they have stopped their ears that they should not hear it. When they're presented with the gospel, I haven't got time right now. I got other things I got to do. And they have stopped their ears. And that phrase, stop their ears, in Zechariah, it made me think of an event in Stephen's life in the New Testament. You may recall, this was just before they had stoned Stephen. Just before he was stoned, Stephen had been preaching to a crowd of people. And they couldn't really contend with him, you know, by talking back against him. They just didn't want to listen. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, Acts 7, verse 57, it says, then they cried with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him, that Stephen, with one accord. And they stoned him. Don't think that can't happen today to a people who share the gospel, to a preacher of the gospel. You know, there are people out here who will act in rage and violence because they don't want to hear the word of God. And essentially that's what they're doing. They're stopping their ears and they're full of rage and they can do something to hurt you. So don't think it can't happen. If it happened to Stephen, it can happen now. You know, people are still the same, and they don't want to hear the word of God sometimes. But we still have to tell it, right? We still have to tell it. And, you know, we know these things are coming because Christ tells us these things. You know, it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there'll come a time, 2 Timothy 4:4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. You know, our nation is like that. They have turned their ears away from the truth. I hear stories and I'm flabbergasted when I hear these things like, well, this is my truth. You have your truth and I have my truth, but I don't have to follow your truth. No, there's one truth. There's one way, truth, and life. We know who that is. There's no your truth and my truth, and there's one truth. But they'll turn away their ears from the truth because they don't want to hear it. And that's sad. It's really bad for our nation. But the church and the Lord are the only hope here for them. You know? And in Proverbs 28, verse 9, listen to this. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turneth his ear away, turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Pastor used that word abomination on Sunday. That's very strong. And, you know, if you're not going to listen to God, why should God listen to you? You know, the people who are out there who, you know, might say they know God and that they pray, if they're not listening to God, why should God listen to them? If you turn your ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You know Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I'm going to give you some verses. If you're taking notes, you can write these down and look at them later. It's a long portion of Scripture. I'm going to skip over for time. But it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 through 17. There's a lot here that I wanted to say. Actually, 17, go down to verse 20. Deuteronomy 30, 14 through 20. You can read that at a later time. But I want to ask you a question now. Again, we're still talking about spiritual famine. Are you a picky eater? You know, are you one of these people who like don't want any of your food on your plate touching another food group? Or you move things around and pretend like you're eating it, but really not. Maybe you give it to the dog or hide it under a napkin. You know, are you a picky eater? Maybe you're someone who only likes the sweets, things that taste sweet, and you want to avoid those dishes that cause a little bit of heartburn. Maybe they sour your stomach, or they cause you some conviction, you know, discomfort through conviction. I'm talking about the Word of God now, spiritual famine. The Word of God is the food I'm talking about. Well, if you're moving that around and avoiding some of the things that God has to say in His Word, then you're doing yourself a disservice. We need all of what God says. We need it all. You know, His ways are high above our ways. His thoughts way above our thoughts. But we need it all. You know, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we need it all. So don't be a picky eater. And, you know, there was a point in... I know there's a danger. Let me say that. I know there's a danger when you avoid God's Word, when you avoid church, when you avoid preaching. There's a danger to you personally. I know this firsthand. I know this for a fact. When you avoid church and God's Word and you want to be alone, you don't want any accountability with other Christians, with other believers, you don't want to be talking or discussing the Word of God. If you're in that condition, I know for a fact that this is a sad state to be in. There was a time in my life when I avoided going to church, didn't read my Bible, and missed out on a lot of things in life because of that. What God had for me, I didn't take it in. You know, don't get in that condition. Don't get in that condition where you avoid God's Word, because sin is like a famine. It's like a famine. And it takes a heavy toll on our well-being. It stunts our growth through wasted absence. You know, when you avoid the Lord and avoid church, you're stunting your growth. You know, we really need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday school. You know, Sunday morning service, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night. We need to be here. We need to take advantage of all the times that we have to hear the Word of God. I know this for a fact. Abstinence from the Word of God is worse than starvation and famine. Remember what the Lord said after the temptation? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He shall not. It's an imperative. You need God's Word. We need God's Word. And we need God's Word and food. Because in many ways, God's Word is our food, our spiritual food. Okay, but you know, we here in Gilead are very blessed. Very blessed. You know, we have a man like, we got Charlie Brewer. Charlie Brewer is our Sunday school teacher. And Charlie, you're a meat eater. Not only does he love a good steak, folks, but he loves the meat of the Word of God. He loves it. And he's been teaching us in Isaiah, and Charlie kind of gets out the steak knife, and he slices those verses off real good for us, and he holds them up to us and shows us, and, you know, we can smell it, we can taste it. He helps us to understand the meat of God's Word. He helps us to understand it. He feeds us very carefully for that. He interprets the Word of God for us. He ties things together. You know, it makes us, makes it easier to understand. So he's given us something even for a baby Christian. He's given us. He's given us the good, strong meat, and a baby Christian can digest it the way Brother Charlie teaches it. So I thank the Lord for Brother Charlie. And, you know, not every church has people like that. So we're very blessed. But we also got our pastor. Our pastor is like that too. We know that. If he were here today, you know, teaching in Psalms, you definitely get a blessing from the pastor. He's not a hobby horse preacher. You know what I mean? He's not a preacher that takes one subject and just stays with it all the time and rides it over and over and over and over on every Sunday. No, our pastor is like who Paul spoke about in Acts. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The pastor actually mentioned that on Sunday. All the counsel of God. He's going to dig into it. He's going to give us what God wants us to have because we've got a good pastor. And we've got a good Sunday school teacher. And there's other men here that are very capable as well. And so I thank the Lord for it. You know, we've been praying for other churches that need pastors. We've been praying for areas, communities that need a good church, a good independent Baptist church, and they don't have it. So be thankful for what we have here because not everybody has it, and we're well fed. And I know that let's look at one last thing. I have another thought here in Psalms. Speaking of pastor preaching in Psalms, let's go to Psalms 107. 107. Okay, let's start at verse 31. 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people. You know, I think that's what, in the beginning of our service today, when people are saying what blessings you've had from the Lord, that's exalting the Lord. Let them exalt the Lord in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Now listen to this and try to understand what it's saying here. Verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. You know, I said earlier that America has been a fruitful land. We have. But it can be turned into barrenness. It can be turned into wilderness anytime God wants it to be. And why? Because of the wickedness of them that dwell therein. When we have our population that doesn't want to listen to the Word of God, we are a nation that's in peril. And God can change people's hearts. He can still reach people. But He could also chasten us and punish and bring anything God chooses to bring a nation low to where they can hear His Word. Many times, like I said, in the children of Israel did not listen to God's Word. They pulled their shoulder away, stopped their ears, didn't want to hear it. Well, our nation's like that. But God can change things. He can change things. We've been praying for repentance, right? Remember that? Pray for repentance. Our nation needs it. But verse 35, He turneth the wilderness into standing water. Now this sounds to me like the opposite here. He turneth the wilderness into standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed. And I'll stop there. So God can take an unfruitful land and He can fill it up with water and blessing. Fill it up with food. He can do all these things, but He can bring a prosperous nation to its knees. And He may choose to do that with America at some point. Now, I'm getting close to closing, and I'm still on point two. Okay? But I want you to think with me now. Let's go to Amos. Amos. Amos was a prophet who did not come from a family of prophets. You know, there was no prophet chain in his family where his father was one and he's one. No. God took him from where he was, gave him a message, and he went to declare that message to some people. And what I'm captured by when I read Amos, and I've been studying Amos for, I guess, about a month, but what I've captured is a few verses in particular in Amos. Look at chapter 4, and let's look at verse 6. He says, I also have given you cleanness of teeth. Now stop there a minute. You know what? Cleanness of teeth, if you're going to the dentist, that's a good thing. If you're going to the dentist, cleanness of teeth is good. I mean, I brush my teeth before I go to the dentist. I floss, trying to make it easier, even for them when they have to clean my teeth. The cleanness of teeth is a good thing when you're going to the dentist, but not here. I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Cleanness of teeth is a picture of famine. You know, God wants people to be, you know, not keep their back and their shoulder pulled away from Him, but to turn to Him and to repent and to be filled with His blessing from His Word and from, well, from Him, from the Lord. So many times people don't do that, and sometimes it takes a famine to change things, and even that sometimes does not. Read about more famines in the Bible. That's that. Amos gave the message that he was supposed to give to the people. And I want you to look now in Amos chapter 8. This is another portion of the scripture from Amos that really captivated my thoughts. You know, Amos chapter 8, look at verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of full water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro, and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. and shall not find it. You know, a famine of the Word of God. And I can't think of anything worse than that. A famine of the Word of God. You know, I take a little heart here, and I'm being a little comical here, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful of the Word of God. But, you know, it doesn't say south in these verses. You know, there's no south there for finding the Word of God. So we're in the south, but I think we still have the Word of God here, okay? Amen. I wish Butch was here to hear that. All right. But God can send a famine. There'll come a famine in the land, not of thirst, not of bread, but of water, the Word of God, and it won't be found. Now look quickly at verse number 9. Listen here. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. That reminds me of the Lord when he was being crucified. You know, the sun was darkened on the sixth hour, I believe it was, it says, noon, which was for the space of 3 hours. And so the Word of God, the Lord Jesus himself, was being crucified for us, and they thought they had put an end to him. That's not. They could not put an end to him. But it tells us there that the sun was darkened when the Word of God was taken away, or about to be taken away. And it reminds me of that here in Amos, when it says that there'll come a time when the sun will go down at noon and darkness on a clear day. And now I get to point number 3. This is the food for thought part. The food for thought. I want you to turn to John chapter 4. I want you to see this. John chapter 4. And let's just look first at verse 8. Now this is, you know, the story here. This is where Jesus is meet the woman at the well, going to gloriously save her, and she's going to go back and be a great witness around the town where she lives. But it says here, at this time, you know, Jesus is sitting there at the well. It says in verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. His disciples weren't there. They were gone away into a city to buy meat. Now skip down to verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. When I read that verse, it reminded me of when the Lord was just a lad. Remember when he was under the household of Joseph and Mary? And they went to Jerusalem to worship, and Joseph and Mary and others that were traveling had left, and the Lord Jesus was back at the temple and talking to the doctors and listening to them and asking questions. Remember that story in the Bible? Well, it reminds me of when after those days when they caught back up to Jesus and being asked the question, wherefore have you sought me? And the Lord's response was, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That reminds me of here, right here. His Father's business. His meat is to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. And he did finish that work. And it was finished for us. So in the closing, I'd say, what's your work? What's the Lord gave you to do? Are you fulfilling his will for your life? And I ask myself the same questions. Are you fulfilling His will for your life? Are you doing the work? That's your meat. You know? You got a physical meat. You got spiritual meat. And this is the meat. The things that you need to do with your life while you're still living. Are you doing what God wants you to do while you're still living? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word, how it nourishes us, Lord, how it instructs us, how it convicts us. Lord, forgive times of absence away from Your Word. When we deprive our own bellies, we deprive our own soul from not reading, from not studying, from not sharing with others. I pray, God, that You would help us to be diligent, to look into Your Word daily, more than our necessary food, like Job said. And Lord, that we would be properly filled and properly nourished, properly prepared to go out to a lost and dying world and share the gospel with others. Lord, that we're not ashamed to do that. And Lord, I know there's opposition out there when we do that. There may be a time when someone would want to stone us to death for the words that we speak. I know, God, that if we're doing that in Your will, that's just fine. All we want is Your will, Lord. And we want you to fill us. We want You to fill us with Your Word. Give us memories, Lord, that we can recall portions of Scripture and be able to share it with others. Lord, please do that. And Lord, for our nation, which certainly doesn't want to listen to the Word of God and is in such a bad shape, such an awful condition, Lord, very poor leadership, people who turn their back away from You, Lord. I pray, God, that You would bring repentance to the nation. Lord, that You would strengthen Your people all across this land and foreign lands as well, to know Your Word, to be faithful to give it out, and to be used by Thee. Lord, You're able. You're able to feed us. You care for us more than the birds of the air, and You'll take care of us. Help us to be faithful in return, Lord, to look in Your Word daily. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're in our invitation time. We know there's no music, but the pastor likes to always give an invitation. So I don't know how the Lord would have used this message for you. I know what it did for me in studying it and preparing it. But you just be faithful. Respond to God. Now, don't be stiff-necked. I don't think we have any people like that here. Really don't. But don't get in a condition like I was in sometime when I was in my youth, when I turned my ears, stopped my ears, and didn't want to listen to the Word of God. Don't get like that. Don't deprive yourself of those things. So you respond the way God wants you to do it. Silently there in your seat, at the pews, or up here at the altar, as God leads. And we'll take a moment of silence for that.